This is Casey Currents. I'm Susan Wilson.
And I'm Sylvia Maria Gross.
Child advocates are demanding answers after several recent cases of extreme child abuse have come to light in the Kansas City area. Even before these cases hit the media, a new Missouri House and Senate committee had formed to improve the child welfare system in the state. This is the most recent of many attempts to fix a system that some say is overburdened and underfunded. But beyond the welfare system, it's hard to understand how could parents lock a child in a closet or handcuff a teenager in a basement. Joe Beck is the vice president of Midwest Foster Care and Adoption. He came by the studio to talk to us about these recent cases and tell us about the help that's available to struggling parents. Joe, welcome to Casey Currents.
Thank you.
There have been two high-visibility cases in the news recently, the Northland teen that was handcuffed in the basement and then the 10-year-old girl who was locked in the closet. And both of these cases raise questions about mental health and the child abuse systems. Now, the first case involved a teen who obviously, from what I've read, was struggling with some mental health issues. And I guess the family was saying they didn't have access to medications or they couldn't afford them and treatment. What does this tell us about adequate mental health care for children and youth?
I think it's difficult sometimes to access the services that families need. The system is sometimes complicated. It's difficult to know exactly what kind of services you need. And there's a stigma and judgment that's placed on parents who have children with mental health conditions. So I think those combination of factors make it difficult for the typical family to access services.
Do you think that there's enough information available to parents about resources available to help with special needs youth? Because I do know there are programs that pay for medication, but do you think that information is readily available?
I think it's a difficult challenge for people to navigate the system. Like I said before, the system can be very complex, and knowing how to get what you need is sometimes very difficult. Frequently, parents face a lot of roadblocks to accessing services. Many of the services that are available are income-based, so if the family is at or slightly above the poverty level, they have more difficulty accessing those services. So I think that there are resources available, but to access those services requires quite a bit of skill, and a lot of times families have the stigma to overcome to reach out and ask for help, because a lot of times they're judged. They're judged for not being able to manage their own kids and to parent kids through difficult situations.
Well, obviously, this seemed to be a situation where parents were, frankly, overwhelmed by this teenager. I guess he had become out of control. There were domestic violence calls to the house. How do we help parents who get overwhelmed and don't know what to do or may not even have the understanding they need to respond appropriately?
I think it's important to approach every situation and try to avoid judgment at all costs. It's hard for parents to reach out and ask for help and then be turned away or told that those services aren't available. It gets frustrating and irritating. A lot of times families are already struggling with the balance in their life of maintaining their employment, maintaining their children in school, dealing with law enforcement, dealing with community services. It gets overwhelming, and a little bit at a time, poor decisions or bad judgment gets normalized for these parents, and they feel like they don't have any other choices. It's easy to stand on the outside and look in and say, there's lots out there to help. But from a parent perspective, trying to figure out how do I get that help when I need it can be very challenging and overwhelming.
Well, when you say avoid judgment, I can just hear some listeners saying, but come on now, they handcuffed him to a pole. I mean, when do we just say that something's really wrong with a parent that does something like this?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt that the parents made very poor decisions in that situation. But we don't know all the details. We don't know that what was done before. We don't know what the parents had tried before. We don't know what roadblocks or barriers they attempted to overcome and were unsuccessful. So I think it's easy to say this tragedy could have been avoided, but we don't know what the parents had been through. Up to that point, and we don't know what the child had been through and what challenges he had faced in accessing services. Most mental health services for a child of 17 years of age are voluntary, and if he didn't feel like he had a problem or needed help, that might disqualify him from getting the help that he needed.
So they couldn't force him to go to get treatment would be an issue, right?
It's very difficult to force somebody to get assistance when they're not asking for it or wanting the help.
Now, you know, back to the domestic violence calls, the police were called to the home on several occasions. In our current system, how does this not become a warning sign? Because I hear this from parents. I hear parents say, you know, I have a 6'1", 15-year-old who I can't restrain or I can't tell him what to do. He leaves when he wants to. And when I call the police, they just tell me, oh, well, there's nothing we can do.
I think that's a challenge that many parents face as youth with mental health problems get older and they don't quite have the insight to know that they need help. I think it's difficult to access those services. Law enforcement is doing a much better job of training their law enforcement officers on mental health needs. However, it's still a unique situation that many of the officers on the street don't understand how to manage it. Frequently, mental health symptoms look like a child who's just being defiant or obstinate. And I think it's a challenge to find the balance between where's the risk and safety factors and should this parent be able to manage this?
Well, you know, some states have status offender laws so that, you know, when there's an early warning sign like this, they can actually take youth into custody and then wrap around some services to help them get back on track. But Missouri doesn't have that kind of law.
That's correct. And it's a challenge for the juvenile justice system because a lot of times the juvenile justice system is trying to provide support to parents and youth. However, there has to be a crime committed of some kind. And the systems just haven't quite caught up with the need. Again, those systems are working hard to improve the services they offer, but it's a difficult situation.
Now, in this instance also, you had the family cutting off food, and you hear this in a lot of child abuse cases where parents will cut off food and that sort of thing. How do we understand that? Why is that a role in so many abuse cases?
A lot of times in abuse cases, it's about power and control. And for parents who are out of equilibrium, their lives are out of balance, they're struggling to find control. And sometimes in order to improve the situation, they feel like, well, if I can control this thing that they need, then in some way I'll be able to get them to comply with what I'm asking them to do. Sometimes there are real risk factors. Sometimes there are perceived risk factors. But in any case, abuse is about power and control. And when parents feel like they're losing control, they'll go to drastic measures to try to find a way to control a child's behavior to get them to comply with their requests.
Now, it sounds like a teen like this that was having mental health problems and maybe struggled with being out of control sometimes would be a candidate for one of our residential treatment programs. But I know Missouri and Kansas have really been trying to reduce the number of residential beds available for troubled youth. How is that a factor in cases like this?
I think frequently people feel like if there was just somewhere that this child could go, they could solve the problem. The reality is residential treatment is extraordinarily expensive and is not necessarily the most effective way in managing behaviors. People deserve to live in the least restrictive environment. So in situations like that, you create a perfect storm where the systemic knowledge that residential treatment isn't the most effective treatment combined with the reality that there are some very difficult children to manage, it creates kind of a dip in resources that are available, and they create barriers to accessing those resources at times. I don't think it's anybody's intention to make the system worse. However, in an effort to reduce cost and improve quality of care, they've eliminated some valuable resources of residential care in both Kansas and Missouri.
Now, in this case, this is a teenager who will soon turn 18 and be transitioning into so-called adulthood. But what resources are available to help someone like him after the experience he's had and that will launch him successfully into adulthood?
There are some creative programs out there that are being offered by the local community mental health centers to help youth with mental health issues transition into the adult system. Statistics have kind of showed us that youth who have mental health problems frequently get lost in the system because many of the services that have been traditionally offered are for adults who have long-term persistent mental illnesses. These kids transitioning in don't look like those other service recipients, and the services haven't been geared. There's a new initiative called the TIP program that was instituted by Truman Behavioral Health. They did they're doing a lot of work on figuring out how to transition youth from children's mental health services into adult mental health services in a seamless way that empowers those youth to access services and be healthy, productive members of the community.
Clinical social worker Joe Beck is vice president for Midwest Foster Care and Adoption. Next week, we'll hear more from Beck, including a closer look at another recent child abuse case and what can be done to prevent it.
If you can't listen to all of Casey Currents today, catch what you missed online in our audio archives. And we've got a podcast. Find us on iTunes.